1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A record heat wave in the U.S. is spreading.
I don't like the heat, but it's something that you have to deal with living in Arizona.
And it is especially bad right now in Phoenix, where they are hosing down animals at the zoo to keep them from passing out in triple-digit heat. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson is tracking conditions nationwide.
Wednesday, when we start folding portions of the upper Midwest into this heat, 100 degrees, you're likely high in Minneapolis and St. Paul. By the time we get to Thursday, the Northeast really starts to cook. We're looking at 97, 98 for the nation's capital.
We're on track to see the hottest July on record. In Greece, the extreme temps have sparked raging wildfires, forcing thousands to evacuate. Here's CBS's Naomi Ruckum.
Cars and trees burn to ash. Beaches are bare in what's normally a popular tourist destination.
You could see the smoke coming over, and then the ash was dropping down. We still smell smoke.
More than a dozen people have also died in wildfires in Algeria, where it's been more than 100 degrees at night. Texas plans to take on the federal government in court soon for refusing to remove a migrant buoy barrier along the Rio Grande. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
Governor Abbott received a letter from the DOJ warning that the buoy barriers recently deployed in the Rio Grande are unlawful, present serious risk to public safety, and interfere with the Fed's duties along the border. Governor Abbott responded, "We will see you in court, Mr. President."
Protesters are angrier than ever now in Israel, where Parliament just passed a plan to strip the Supreme Court of its powers.
Outside the Parliament, thousands of demonstrators yelled "Busha, shame" as the vote was taken. Critics say the bill weakens Israeli democracy as it takes power from the Supreme Court, which is the only check on the government's power. Supporters say the Supreme Court has too much power, and they will move ahead with more laws to limit that power. Linda Gradstein for CBS News, Jerusalem.
Investigators are still pillaging a suspected serial killer's property for more possible evidence on Long Island.
Investigators have been using excavators, cadaver dogs, and sonar equipment at the New York home of Rex Uhrman and say they found a walk-in vault in his basement with an iron door which contained guns. Herbert Ellis is a Long Island-based attorney.
It looks like they're putting together some key pieces of evidence that may have been overlooked.
Uhrman, who's pleaded not guilty, is back in court next Tuesday. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
And jurors have started deliberating in Kevin Spacey's sexual assault trial now in London. The actor is accused of abuse by four men dating back two decades. Spacey has denied it. He was acquitted on similar charges here in the U.S. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Staples has big savings on everything you need for back to school or stocking up the office. Save on signs, banners, and posters expertly printed by Staples Print and Marketing Services. Save on the latest tech and tech total support plans to keep your new or existing PC running right. Plus, save on all your back to school essentials, from notebooks to markers. And right now at Staples, you can save even more with $10 off your in-store purchase of $50 or more. Get everything for the office and the classroom for less at Staples. N729. In-store only. Exclusions apply.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on WisCountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on WisCountry 105.5.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303. Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, otherwise partly cloudy. Lows around 60, northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow, highs level off around 91. Overcast skies tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms, lows dip down to about 68. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 83.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Brought to you proudly by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. It is 3:05 on the clock on this 24th of July. I have your host, James J. I am joined by my partner in sports, one of the best voices in this state, Mr. Randy Paul.
Afternoon, James. How you been?
Doing good. How you been, man?
Good, too. Hey, got a chance to see Phil on Friday. Got to talk to him a little bit. That's always a fun thing. And grateful to him for always sponsoring this show.
Absolutely. Yeah, I always love being able to run into Phil. And he'll be joining us Wednesday on the morning show with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Looking forward to that. Randy and I are here today to talk to you. Call up 424-2600. Join us with your sports thoughts and feelings. We want to hear them. We'll get into a little bit of Packer news that has broken over the last 24 hours with some of the comments from Mark Murphy regarding Aaron Rodgers and his legacy and Jordan Love and his upcoming season. Get into some of that.
And they're already talking about possible trades. You know, here we are, not even starting training camp yet.
It's just ridiculous. We'll get into all that ridiculousness. We also, of course, got some other stuff we want to get into. Brewers will be talking as well. I wanted to start off with Rafter talk, Randy, especially because we actually have a moment to breathe.
Yes.
the season is at a pause. It just feels like things go so fast. I had a listener joking with me about the show here, a longtime listener and dedicated listener, but they were on vacation. When she left and she was listening to Playmakers, we were talking about how the Rafters are on a 4-game winning streak. When she comes back, they're on a 5-game losing streak. She says that's how crazy the season is and how up and down baseball is, but certainly it is on the Northwoods League level as much as on the MLB level.
And now here they are back at a 3-game win streak, right?
Yeah.
And I think, they won 4 out of their last 10, so they had a little bit of a downtime there, you're right. But they won the last 3, that's a nice way to go into the break, kind of like the Brewers did when they went into the All-Star break and then came out of it pretty well. And then, of course, the home run derby, so to speak, tonight for the Northwoods League. And then the All-Star game tomorrow, day off on Wednesday. So you're right. It's that down season. I think we talked about this last week, too, James, the fact that it's different than you would do in the MLB where they do it at the halfway point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, here in the Northwoods League, we're already in the second half where I think the Rafters are 10-10 here in half number 2. And now they take the break. So it's not right, you know, between the halves.
Not that these players would know because they don't go from the MLB to the Northwoods or anything, but I'd be curious to know what you would prefer.
Yeah,
you know, especially in baseball, of all sports, baseball, where momentum is so important and they put so much emphasis on it and everything. If you like this kind of like almost 70% through the season kind of thing where you get this a break, you know, and it's kind of nice, especially right now. And you come back and these, especially for the guys that may not have been in the All-Star game, you know, even fresher. And that, what a great way to wrap up the season, to hit the, you know, home stretch here with more energy, with maybe they're all banged up, I'm sure, so even a little bit of extra days of rest. Or do you like it with that halfway point? Because maybe you could have used that break 2 weeks ago and wouldn't have had that losing streak or something like that. I'm curious to know how they'd feel about that. How you do out there, 424-2600. As a fan, how do you like it? Would you like that? Do you like the way the MLB does it? Do you like this way? I'm curious to know if you would like that in other sports, too, because everybody other than football does it that way for obvious reasons. But should they be doing it in the middle of the season? I know, injuries and all these other things we worry about. But let's be honest, it's flag football anyway.
Right.
And you got, one of the opening stories that I see in the news today as far as sports, Buffalo Bills, Nyheim Hines. I get that. I'm sorry, everybody. My jaw's all messed up. Nyheim Hines is out for the season with an ACL due to a jet ski incident. So, I mean, it can happen anytime. Guys can get injured, obviously.
Don't they have contracts that say they're supposed to stay off
the roads, like motorcycles
and jet skis?
Somebody's losing some money. Yeah.
Ouch.
Or you've got on the other side of this, Detroit Lions' Gardner Johnson was carted off with an injury during practice today. So it can happen at any point. I'm not going to worry during the middle of a season if these guys go out there and they play an exhibition game that doesn't really have any meaning, but it's for the fans. Wasn't the All-Star game about that to begin with, in all leagues, about the fans?
And to honor, you know, those players that were, you know, the 300 hitters back in the day, the great pitchers of the day. And now, you know, it's interesting. You think about the NFL, which is a lot different animal, but, you know, there's nothing worse than getting that bye in the first part of the season.
Yeah.
Because then you got to go, like, what, 10, 12 games before you get another one. It always seems like probably with about 6 or 7 weeks to go is the ideal for the NFL. Now, when it comes to baseball, isn't it strange to think with, like, the rafters here, we're probably only a couple of weeks away from the end of the season?
Yeah.
A month from now, we're going to already be in school at our place.
Right.
Isn't that crazy to think how fast this has gone? So, yeah, that's a really great question. It'd be fun to ask the players. It's an interesting question for the fans out there who want to give us a call to see what's their opinion. Do they like the break right now, or would they preferred it maybe a couple of weeks ago?
I'm still not sure what happened to June. I still haven't figured that out, Randy. I'm with you. I don't. The summer goes way too fast. It's just ridiculous. Do you have any notes about the All-Star game coming up here? I know we got the Home Run Derby.
I saw a bunch of things with Brandon Bobo and Jack Gerwith. They're both going to be in the Home Run Derby tonight, so that'll be a lot of fun for them. And then, actually, the All-Star game will be on ESPNU tomorrow night. So that'll be fun. There's going to be Brandon Bobo and Gerwich will be into the game. Gerwich, 313 he's hitting with 5 home runs and 25 RBIs. I saw some stats on him. Also, Ty Johnson, Jacob Rosecrans, Kalen Graham, Julian Tristan. So 7-8 rafters, I think, are going to be on that roster. So that's really exciting for them. And it all kicks off on tonight with a Home Run Derby. And then Wednesday, they've all got the day off.
Yeah, it's nice that these games are being featured on ESPN as well. ESPN Plus and all that. But still, it counts nowadays.
And in Traverse City, Michigan is where it's going to be held. And I'm not quite familiar with Michigan, where that's actually located. I'd have to look that up. But
Me neither. But it is really cool that it's up there, too. It helps the league, having these All-Star games in places like that, just like having it here in Rapids.
Yeah.
Had helped a year or two ago doing that. It's been an exciting season, up and down, sure, but it's been fun, and we're enjoying it and love having our Rafters right here. Rafters going to get back in action just a couple of days. They don't get too much of a break, everybody. Don't get too comfortable. Thursday, they'll be back in action in Wausau, and what a great way to come out of this break.
Right.
Taking on our heated rival, the Wausau Woodchucks, who I noticed went back to Wausau. Anybody else notice that? No real pop and circumstance about it, but they're slightly, you know, shyly with their tail between their legs, went back to Wausau Woodchucks. Wausau going to be taking, we'll be taking them on in Wausau on Thursday. 6:20 will be opening pitch, same time for Friday's game, but that one right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeah, and the Great Lakes West right now, Rapids 10-10, 2.5 behind the Madison Mallards, but overall 30-25, just a half game behind the Green Bay Rockers.
Got to get this second division. We got to get in the playoffs. That's what it's all about to me. At this level of play, I really feel you get into the playoffs, that is the win. That is what you can count on. It's baseball. Nobody knows how this stuff's going to go. I remember talking with Bob and Carl about this. Nobody had the Rafters winning the championship in 16. They weren't predicted to win it. They weren't up there or anything. And you don't see a lot of predictions with the Northwoods League because it's crazy. You don't know. You don't know what teams are going to do and everything. Baseball, sports are crazy. Who can predict any of this stuff? One of my favorite things to laugh at is people trying to predict the NFL season. I'm telling you, this is the team you want to bet on right now. This is who you want to bet on. Go ahead and put all your money on the Bengals, you know, or something like that. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't feel confident betting on the Chiefs right now. I wouldn't put $5 on them, and that's one of the best teams I've ever seen.
Because it always comes down to health, right? You get banged up, you lose your starting quarterback. That makes it pretty tough. You know, you go to your fourth string quarterback. We saw how that worked out for the 49ers.
They got
by quite a while, but, you know, injuries finally caught up to them.
Hard to imagine them not in the Super Bowl if they didn't have a reliable, if Purdy didn't get hurt. If they had had that. Looking back at your Northwoods League, when the Raptors are back in town this Friday, special night at the ballpark, it is Anytime Fitness water bottle giveaway. Stay hydrated. The first fans at Witterfield to receive a water bottle courtesy of Anytime Fitness. And then on Thursday, August 3rd, Aspires Health Bryson Sott Day bobblehead giveaway.
Cool.
I want one of those. I want one of those right up there with all of our other bobbleheads. I want to get one of those. Got to get to that game. It's going to be a good one. Other great stuff coming up on Saturday, August 5th, Southwood County YMCA Donor Appreciation Night. That's going to be a good one, too. And some more promotions as the Raptors do throughout the rest of the season.
As they start to wrap up the season, right?
Yeah, yeah. And let's hope that it extends. Let's hope we get into the playoffs and we have a little bit of a longer season. We'll continue to have Meet Your Raptors as we continue on here. And we'll looking forward to that. I was waiting to hear back, and I was just checking my email just right before we went on air to see. I don't have an exact date yet, but we will have some of the players back in with us, and we'll talk with Joey and Kevin and hang out with those guys a little bit. Looking forward to it. So I wanted two more baseball things before getting into any Brewers or Packers talk or anything, Randy. Did want to remind everybody the State American Legion Baseball Tournament is going on today and tomorrow at the new Wisconsin Rapids Quadplex over on 16th Street South near the football field on Southwood County and at the Southwood County Rec Center right next to it.
Yeah, that's the 17U, right? And the Ramblers are going to be in that, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we get to the local spot.
And just if you get a chance, get to these games, support these teams, come out and cheer the Ramblers tonight. And hopefully they will be playing tomorrow in the championship game.
It'll be fun.
Looking forward to that. So, I real quick, Randy, this is just a bit of a you know, we got all-star games and all this. The MLB season's come again, get back going and everything. So this is the time where I love having these kind of like internal thoughts or those thoughts that you have like once a year but you didn't remember. You thought about it last year and looked up the answer. Why do they call a manager in baseball and not a coach?
Good point.
I had a couple listeners bring this up, okay. And I thought it'd be fun to go over. I think that a lot of people might know this one out there, and I'm sure we talked about this years ago. But just to rehash, the usage dates back to the early days of professional baseball when it was common practice for teams to have just one manager on their staff, and where GM duties were performed either by the field manager or by commonly by the owner. So you had the owner and the manager, and that was it.
That was it.
That was your team. That was your staff. I just can't even wrap my mind around what those owners would think of today's ownership.
Oh, and coaching staffs too, right?
Yeah.
And people who are just out there helping. Just look at the sideline in an NFL game. It is just filled with people who are not in uniform. And you look back at those, how many years ago? Not that long ago. And you look at some of those old films, and it's just the players and a couple of coaches.
It's one of the most fascinating things in sports to me, coaching. And you see guys who are so good at, like, as a position coach or an offense or defensive coordinator or something, and you give them the big gig, and they fail horribly. Or guys who, you know, maybe weren't giving opportunities like Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh or something like that. Or some other people I've heard of that have started, like Eric Spoelstra, another one who couldn't really get a break. And he's working tape. He's hustling and working all the tape room and everything. And he slowly moves his way up. And now he's one of the greatest coaches in NBA history. It's so cool to me to see what guys work and what guys don't.
Very interesting. You know, we talked about the same thing with, like, just kind of a tie in here a little bit with Major League Baseball, how some guys are really good setup guys, but they're not good closers. Yeah. Kind of the same thing, right? Maybe you're great at the college level, then you go into the pros and you find out that's just not your niche. And it's got to be so different, right? Because at the college level, with all of that recruiting going on, besides you're dealing with 18 to 22, 3, 4 year olds, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got the men, so to speak, who are, you know, the 40 year olds, so to speak, who are about the same age or maybe even a little bit older than the coach.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, I think about that with Matt LaFleur when he's sitting there trying to bark at Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is just looking at him like, you know, I could babysit you. Like, it was a funny situation, but it is interesting to think of, you know, okay, they get through that. Can they get past it and look at each other respectively? I don't know. I think you could have had Bill Walsh as the coach and Aaron Rodgers would have wanted to leave. I don't think that it mattered who the coach was. And honestly, I think that if Bill Walsh was Aaron Rodgers' coach, I think that Aaron Rodgers would have a problem with him too. I don't know if there's a guy that he wouldn't. I can't wait to see how this stuff works out in New York because the honeymoon process ends quick. I'm very curious to see how that one goes.
Yeah, and I think if I remember right, the Jets ended on like a 6-game losing streak too.
Yeah.
So are they going you know, magically turn it around. And, you know, the other thing, we're just talking about somebody this last weekend, and the fact that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, is he going downhill a little bit, or was it just, you know, a matter of circumstance last year? But one thing we thought we noticed was his escapability wasn't what it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
He just lost a few steps, you know, and if he continues to lose a little bit of speed trying to get away in the pocket, that could lead to, and everybody's just like, we just want to see him get 65% of the game.
Yeah, plays. Right, yeah.
Right, so we get that first round pick instead of second.
424-2600, I'm curious, you know, bring your sports thoughts and feelings to us, everybody. You know what I noticed with him last year? His escapability, but just really specifically, he used to be able to break a foot tackle. Like, he just whip him off of him, like nothing. Like Randall Cunningham could do. And now I see him getting caught by those. One hand gets his ankle and he's down, kind of thing. I don't know. That could be an injury thing or a situation. I know that he has struggled with that, and every player does. So, yeah, we'll see. The Jets did reveal their new uniforms for this season or what have you, as long as we're talking A-Rod and all that. I like saying A-Rod because I think of him and Rodriguez. And both of them are kind of now in a similar boat. It's a little interesting. So with him, they just unveiled the new uniforms and all that. They're going back to those all whites and stuff. So they're going to be having those back.
The helmet's still the same with the...
I think there's still the green. Yeah, I think so, yeah. Okay. I did like that they went back. I think they could go even farther back with those. I think those classic jerseys of theirs were the best. Yeah. The best they had.
Back in the Super Bowl III, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, speaking of baseball, can I just interrupt for a second?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I was just thinking about that this morning, how the crime dog... Got into the Hall of Fame,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
So, you know, if you start naming people, and, you know, no bias or anything, but if you would say the name Scott Rolen, would you think Hall of Fame? I don't know.
Not even close.
I don't know.
You know?
Sometimes there's some people go, yeah, that person's very deserving. Others, you know, they question things, but I don't know. He had some good numbers and things, but I don't know. You know, you start naming off Hall of Famers, right?
Well, you know,
If you go down a list, I don't know if he comes to mind.
I don't. So I don't look at this with older players because it was such a different game and everything. But modern players, absolutely. And when a guy like Fred McGriff, like we were waiting forever, it feels like, for him to get in. But Rolen gets in right away like this. It does make you, it's kind of like, huh. And one of the things that I heard about this is the voting on the Hall of Fame with baseball, how it's different with that than other sports. And sports writers still have this power. It's like one of the last places they do. And there's a part of me that's kind of saddened by that, just because you see what happens with the New York Times and them getting rid of their whole sports section and everything. And we wouldn't be talking about concussions without what the New York Times reporting did there. So things like that really do bother me a little bit. But at the same time, some of these older sports writers, like, really love the sound of their own name. You know, and they have to make it about them. I'm not going to give 100% of the vote to this guy because Babe Ruth didn't even have it. Like, this kind of stuff. Like, really.
When Derek Jeter doesn't get 100% because some guy didn't vote for him.
Ken Griffey Jr. doesn't get 100% of the vote. Like, it just tells you right there, to me, I don't know if you deserve this. I don't know if you should be the ones in charge of this. I feel like that you can't just leave it up to fans. You can't just leave it up to one source. Right. I think that you do it smart, but when you spread it out. But I do think that it should be more fan-based. It should be more stat-based. You know, even if you had a barometer, you have this. Yeah, if you have 500 home runs, you're getting into the Hall of Fame. I don't care if you finish with a 182 batting average, you're still getting in. Like, I'm not saying that should be a rule, but things like that, I would have less of a problem with that than sports writers making it about them.
Be interesting to see if they actually reveal who votes. I don't know if they do or not.
Some guys do, especially nowadays in the social media era. Some guys will. I remember with not Rivera. It was Jeter. One of the guys that didn't vote for him was a Boston sports writer and showed his vote that he didn't vote for Jeter or whatever. Okay. And it's like that stuff. Like, miss me with that. It ain't about you. It should be about the fans. Everything should come back to the fans. Everything should start and end with the fans. That's the reason you're making millions and millions of dollars. That's why your owners have billions, is the fans. That's why the Washington team just sold for $6.8 billion and one of the worst owners in human history of anything. I'm talking from sports teams to lemonade stands. Daniel Snyder just made a profit on his business transaction. His big, like, you know, the big slap on the wrist for Daniel Snyder was him losing the job, losing the ownership, and then getting fined $60 million, which he can't even, like, he won't even feel that. It's a ant on his arm is what that is. So that's his big punishment. You know, but if I don't think that the sports writers or owners or even players in some degree should have too much say over fans when it comes to the Hall of Fame. It's all about the who's going to the Hall of Fame. Are players going and checking out their bus and things like that over at the Hall of Fame, or is it fans? Who's the most people going to these things? It should be about that. Like most things in life, you should be. Our job's no different. If we're not doing this for the listeners, if we make this all about Randy and I, this show does not last. I guarantee you, Phil ain't sponsoring it. You know, things like that don't happen. It doesn't seem like we ain't talking rocket science here. It's not that difficult. How do you think this should be? 424-2600, you out there. Do you think that the fans should have more of a vote in the Hall of Fame? Especially, we'll just keep it to baseball. We'll just go ahead and talk about baseball. If you want to talk about other Hall of Fames, we can. But I'm specifically thinking of baseball and their voting and the way that works. Because I, at this point in the game, would not be opposed to there being a special wing of the Hall of Fame for these guys that are on the fringe. And I don't mean just sports. I don't mean just steroid users. I mean Pete Rose. I mean, anybody else you could think of that should be on that fringe. I do think that you should be able to separate the two. There's some outliers here and there. But you look at Ty Cobb, and Ty Cobb still to this day is considered the biggest jerk in baseball history when he was nothing like that. His actual true story was nothing like that. But it's still common knowledge for people out there, people, very intelligent people that talk sports and do sports on the radio all the time or on TV. Talk about the first name that they want to mention somebody bad in sports, they mention Ty Cobb, the jerk Ty Cobb, when he was not. That was not who he was. We've got actual facts and proof now to show. We've got people that played with Ty Cobb to say this. I feel like some of this stuff, if you can't separate the two, then why are we even doing this, you know, if it can't be separated? I don't think that Pete Rose should be completely dismissed from baseball history. Does he belong in the Hall of Fame or not? I think that's something that's already been decided. You know, I think that there needs to be accountability. I think that there needs to be, well, you cheat, you don't get in, certain things like that. But what do you do with something like this where it happened after his playing career? What do you do with domestic violence situations that have nothing to do with the game? For me personally, there's never been an athlete that had a domestic violence situation that I've ever rooted for ever again. And I feel, I don't know how to feel about that. I'm being honest about it. That's all. I'm being honest. I don't know if that's smart of me or not. I don't know if that's a good sports fan of me or not. But I know that's how my brain works. It's an interesting debate, but it's something that happens with sports because the worlds bleed into each other.
You're right. And the hard part is what percentage of people get caught. It's like people speeding down the road, right? How many get picked up?
Yes.
What percent get picked up? So how much is going on behind the scenes with illegal use of substances, doing like you just said with domestic violence? There's a long laundry list of things that people could be doing wrong that they are not getting being held accountable for. So that's... You know, what do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do? That's, I'm glad I'm not in charge of making
decisions. I was just going to say, I know that I'm going to continue to do a sports show.
Yes.
Sports show. And not pretend like I know everything. We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back. Randy will have some local stuff for us, and we'll get into a little bit of Packer talk and some other things. Coming up here on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. Senator Tammy Baldwin is working to make sure we know who owns farmland in Wisconsin and the United States as a whole. She's paired up with Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa to introduce the Farmland Security Act of 2023. It will ensure that foreign investors have to report their land holdings in America. WXOW reports the act will also require more research into what foreign agricultural land ownership means for Wisconsin communities and the nation's food supply. Gas prices are on the rise, but still cheaper than this time last month. As predicted, gas prices have remained relatively steady, rising only 4.4 cents per gallon during the last week. The average price in Wisconsin is $3.39 per gallon. Analysts at Gas Buddy have some concern about the high heat fueling later tropical storms that could disrupt gas prices before summer's end. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
What? I'm not understanding.
Having trouble getting your message across? Come visit us at Quality Plus Printing. We will design and print engaging materials that will help your customers learn more about your business, your team, or your event. We can help you with flyers, letterhead, forms of all types, business cards, posters, brochures, and so much more. We'll make you look wicked awesome. Let there be no doubt, at Quality Plus Printing, we'll get your words out.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0900. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, otherwise partly cloudy. Lows around 60, northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow, highs level off around 91. Overcast skies tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms, lows dip down to about 68. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 83.
Welcome back to Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR. Randy and James here with you, and we want to take your phone calls, 424-2600, call up and join the conversation. Randy, you have some local news for us.
Yeah, with only about a month away from the high school football season starting and the fall sports kicking in, we're kind of wrapping up the summer portion of the program here. And we'll start off first with the Rangers. The regionals were held this past week over in Plover. On Wednesday, Braden Lewis tossed a two-hit shutout as rapid stop Stevens Point 1-0. And then on Thursday, the Rangers fell for a second time this season to DC Everest. This time they were held to just three hits, losing 3-0. And then on Friday, in an elimination game, Wisconsin Rapids rallied for two runs in the sixth to nip Wausau 6-5. And then finally on Friday, needing to win two games against the Black Sox of Plover because they were undefeated in the tournament, the Rangers' fine season came to a close with a record of 24-4, falling in game one, 6-1. So congratulations go out to Coach Helber and his staff and players. What an outstanding season for the Rangers.
Yeah, nothing to hang your head about. That great season for
them. That's for sure. And then when it comes to the U-17 team, the Wisconsin Rapids Ramblers finished second in the Valley this year behind Plover, but they turned the tables in the regional championship with a 3-1 victory. And so with the state tournament being held right here in Rapids at the Area Sports Complex over by Lincoln High School, the Ramblers put up an 8th spot in the first on Friday as they cruised to an 11-0 shutout of Appleton in just 5 innings. Next on Saturday, it was Sheboygan who came to town, and this time the Ramblers won by 10 runs, 15-5. And then on Sunday, Rapids had a rally for 2 runs in the top of the 7th for a thrilling 8-7 win over Middleton. They improved to 25-7 on the year. So at 7:30 tonight, it'll be the Ramblers versus Eau Claire, and since they're the only undefeated team left in the tournament, they'll be, win or lose tonight, playing for the championship on Tuesday. It's just a matter if they'll need one win or two. So congrats go out to Coach Jack Smalley and his staff and players as well, and they're still alive in that state tournament.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it sure is. And of course, as we said earlier, Rafters wrapping up the first part of the second half, 10-10 record, and then off, of course, with the Home Run Derby tonight, All-Star Game tomorrow, off Wednesday, and then back at it on Thursday.
Great work, Randy. Thank you so much for the coverage. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good afternoon.
I'll get used to it one of these days. One of these days.
Yeah, it's good to hear you guys. Good to hear you, Randy.
Good to be heard.
Yes. Where is that Ramblers game?
Right here in town.
Okay, cool.
Over at the Quadplex?
All right, well, I got a random stat for you today, guys.
Ooh,
good to hear.
You were talking about Ken Griffey Jr., a.k.a. the sweetest swing in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know there is three guys that were number one overall picks that are now in the Hall of Fame, and they are Ken Griffey Jr., Chipper Jones, and Harold Baines.
Harold Baines?
Harold Baines was the number one pick? Whoa, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's interesting.
Being a Southside guy, I thought you would have known that.
I absolutely. That's why I'm mad at myself right now. Like, I don't remember that. I feel like I should, but I don't remember that. That's pretty cool. That's the only three in the Hall of Fame, too, isn't it? I think that's the only three. First picks.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Oh, also, on a local note, the second best and sweetest swing in baseball is Wisconsin Rapids Raptors former player and now starting player for the Philadelphia Phillies, Bryson Stotts.
Yeah, his swing is nice. It is nice. I got to say, too, and I feel like we can't go 5 seconds without talking about it, but Ohtani's swing is pretty nice, too. I hadn't really taken the time until this season to really watch his swing and his mechanics. My gosh, yeah. I hope he teaches classes once he's retired on hitting, because what he's doing is different. So they talk about this with Bo, when Bo Jackson would do things in the outfield, and the next day the injury report would be filled. Because so many outfielders in batting practice were trying to run up the wall or these kind of things, and they twist an ankle or something like that. Because they were all trying to do what he was doing in the field. Now I'm hearing a lot of players, and I don't know if you watch a lot of baseball or catch this or not, you'll hear commentators mentioning it. Somebody updated their swing, or they updated this on their swing. That's the word they're using, updated. Because they're watching Ohtani doing these things, and they're like, wait a minute, he does that differently than I do. I push off my back foot. He pushes off his front foot. Like, and I want to try that. It's funny to me.
I think on Saturday they were talking a little bit about Christian Yelich with his toe tap, right? And that's kind of got him more in rhythm now. And then they showed it and you noticed it and said it's helping him out. But how about Sal Frelick, huh?
Oh, I wanted to get into that before we wrapped up
the
show.
What a great story.
Thanks for the call, bud. Always appreciate you.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good one, guys.
You too, man. George's own Sal Frelick just came bursting into the MLB.
3 for 3 on Saturday. Yeah. Plus, his fourth at-bat was a sacrifice fly that almost fell. Then he makes those two spectacular catches against the wall. Yesterday, he got a glove on one where he's just flying down the left field line over the right field line, and it just bounced off of his glove. But, you know, when I was thinking of him, I said he should have retired after game one.
Yeah.
Going to the Hall of Fame and
23, retire. Yes.
Hall of Fame. But just that smooth swing, slap kind of shot.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of, now the name just flew out of my head, the guy for the Cardinals that played against the Brewers in the World Series in 82.
Not Ozzy. I know who you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh. It'll come back to me soon. But just
something.
He just, the little slap hitting, you know. And mm-hmm. you know, he got a couple to right field. He slapped one to left field. And he's going to be an exciting young player. But isn't that interesting? It shows you all the scouts that you have, right?
Mm.
And all of the work that you put into this, trying to find these great players. And only three? Number one picks overall.
I can't wrap my brain around that. That's insane. How long baseball's been around, and that just shows you how hard it is to predict that stuff and how great scouts are. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Good afternoon again. I think you're thinking of David Freese, Randy.
Nope. Oh, I'm thinking of the guy that played for the Cardinals. Oh, no. He played for the Angels. I'm sorry. The Angels, when they beat him in Milwaukee in that last game.
Well, it's
game.
Better than me. I was thinking of Gary Gaetti for some reason, and I have no idea why. He has nothing to do with this conversation.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I have no idea.
He has everything to do with this conversation.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's the way to spin it. Yes.
Rod Carew.
I thought you meant Rod Carew, but
Rod
I was going to, oh, it can't be Rod Carew. He would have thought of Rod Carew, so I didn't say
just
it.
Just
blew
out of my head,
Hey, I got mad hits like I was Rod Carew.
Oh, good line. Well done.
What's up with Ichiro? Is he teaching somebody something we don't know about? Shohei Ohtani or anything?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Sal Frelick.
Yeah. So share it with the rest of the class. Share it with the rest of the class, Ichiro. Yeah.
It all comes back to Ichiro.
Oh, yes.
I saw a shot of Ichiro the other day. He looks the exact same. He has not aged one day. I don't know how that happened.
He's timeless.
Yeah, he is.
You're right.
Good to talk to you again, brother. Right, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, those left-handers, they just, something about them, they have that smooth swing, that smooth home run. Well, who just won the Open over in England, right? Yeah. A lefty. How cool is that?
Again, another note I had that I wanted to talk to you about, because you and my brother are my golf guys. To me, as an outsider watching Hartman there win this, I know enough about golf to know that he's one of these guys that's finished second a lot of times, finished third, hasn't really just been able to bring it home on Sunday.
It's
usually
only his third win.
Yeah, he's only third overall, let alone his first major.
Read an interesting article about him in college, though. He's going against Ricky Fowler, and he said he was like going head-to-head against him. And it was like hole 15, and right? And he makes this birdie putt to keep the I think he's either tied or he's down one, maybe. And he said that Ricky Fowler and his caddy go walking off to hole 16. He's like, I had to go walk all the way across the green and put the flag back in. He said, that just kind of fired me up, like, I'm not going to let that happen. And they said he's been fiery all his life, but only his third win. He's age 36. But I think I saw he made like $3 million yesterday.
Yeah.
So suddenly, all of those painful thoughts we had for him are gone.
Yeah, all of them.
But what a great story that was, too. Another lefty, right?
Yes.
Only two other lefties have ever won the Open.
That's amazing to me, too. I heard that stat. Yeah.
Back in 1963, Bob Charles. And then 10 years ago, it was Phil.
And I remember hearing Phil. That's amazing to me, too, that especially in a course like that, from what I understand, it's one of the more difficult courses there is.
And one of the things that they were talking about, too, was the fact that he doesn't hit the ball a long way. No, he just hits it 10 times farther than the rest of us. But compared to the rest of the pros, he's hitting it like 283 to 300. But they said it was just some of the commentators saying it was kind of interesting to watch somebody who doesn't hit the ball a mile, be competitive and be able to win this, in this day and age of, everything being accelerated, that he had to be accurate, and he was, and competitive, and won by 6 shots, 13 under. He just did a great job.
It's pretty cool to see. I talked to my brother about this. I was curious, and I want to hear from you out there about it. 424-2600. Were you more of a fan of the Tiger era, where it was Tiger versus the field, or this kind of stuff, where you have no idea who's going to win week to week?
No.
Every week it seems like Ricky Fowler, you mentioned him. I'm a big fan of his. I like him.
Yep.
And I was all excited about him coming into this major because of his performance with the last. He did fairly well, I believe, but not really. And other guys that were doing well in the last match, gone on day one. And big names like Rory and some of these names where you think, oh, Rory's going to do really well over there, being, stereotypical a little bit, but I mean, he's got to know that course a little better than some Americans might.
And yesterday, all day rain, right? And those Europeans are just used to that, they get a lot of rain and they play in that a lot. The other thing that was kind of interesting was Rahm came back, so he had a pretty strong finish, especially day two. I think he shot day three, he shot a 63 and couldn't quite get over the hump yesterday. But you know what it ties into? First round draft picks that enter the Hall of Fame. Number one draft picks that enter the Hall of Fame, right? That this is the same kind of crapshoot.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Because they can sit there and talk about this on the Golf Channel or any other channel, like who are the favorites to win at the Open. I don't think Brian Harman's name ever came up.
Right. Yeah. No, it didn't.
Not even in the course of the conversation. And that just shows you the parity now. I mean, that's a great question you ask. Do you enjoy this better, where you don't know from week to week who's going to win? Or did you like it better when Tiger was playing? And you'd be surprised if he didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
That is
Do you have a preference the other way? Do you?
I kind of like it when there's parody like this.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the NFL. It's like when, it was okay when the Packers won all the time.
Sure,
that
sure.
was fine.
Very different story.
Different there. Completely different. But otherwise, it's always like, our team's got a chance, right?
Yeah.
And even with the expanding of, you think back when the Brewers were in the World Series in 82, Rod Carew. when the Brewers were in the World Series in 82. Back then you just had one team from the AL East that made the playoffs and one team from the AL West that made the playoffs. There were four teams in the playoffs. That was it.
Yeah.
Now you've got this expanded playoff in all of sports.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps the interest, right? I mean, just think, I'm sure I would be surprised, I would be shocked if we didn't get into the last day of the Major League Baseball season and it still was up in the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like the NFL, right?
Yep.
Well, these 18 teams out of 18 have a chance to still make the playoffs.
Right, right. It's part of why we love sports is that in part of how they have gotten, especially in baseball, the one of the lowest rated games of the season turned into one of the highest rated games of the season in that last game of the season. It used to be most teams. Well, my team's not in, and I knew that like 2 months ago that my team wasn't in, so I stopped paying attention to this team 2 months ago. Now you've got to stay involved. You've got to keep watching. I understand, especially with baseball, you can into a lot of tradition, and I used to think it was pretty cool. It was pennant or nothing, you know. That as a kid, that was pretty cool to me and everything. But that's not how you evolve a sport. That's not how you grow a sport. If you're a fan of the sport, I think you got to put your own feelings secondary. And it's weird to say that because earlier I was saying the fans should come first.
Right.
But as fans, I think we have to understand that this it's bigger than us.
Well, wasn't it 2010 season, 2011, when the Packers won the Super Bowl? They were the first wild card team to do it. So you don't have that. They don't even win that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? So it's evolved from that point as well. Now, you just think about the major league standings right now. We're basically just a little bit past the halfway point.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the National League, for example, you've got three teams with Atlanta's just running away with that division.
Yeah,
it'd be over otherwise, right?
Yeah, I mean, 11 games up. Yeah.
Against them and between Philly and Florida. Now, the Brewers division, I mean, you still think the Bucks are, you know, Pittsburgh's not going to probably be there?
Yeah.
But, boy, don't count out St. Louis at 11 back.
I will never. No. Ever count out St. Louis.
Even if they don't have Scott Rule on the roster.
Right. Yes, yes. Even if it's the last game of the season, somehow. I still will think somehow if St. Louis can get into the playoffs.
Cubs 6.5 back, Cincy just a half game back. Then you look at the West, and you've got L.A., Arizona's 4 back, San Francisco's 4 back, San Diego's 10 back. So just in the National League alone, you've got 3, 4, 7. You've still got 9, 10 teams who are really thinking playoffs, besides the teams that are winning right now.
Right. And this week is one of the most interesting weeks in baseball to me because we decide who's going to be buyers and sellers next week at the trade deadline.
That's a good point, too.
Because everybody in the world seems to be... Cody Bellinger, I hope, is renting his home in Chicago because he just got there, but they've got him in a Yankee uniform, they got him in a Dodger uniform, in a Philly uniform. He's gone, apparently. Any decent player on the Cubs, they're looking at trading. And I only bring that up because they're in third in that division there. And you can make the argument if you are a fan of the Cubs, if you are somebody who in that organization having to decide right now, similar to the Brewers last year, where what do I do? Do I 1 foot in, 1 foot out? What am I doing here? Especially when you have a young team that you are trying to build. It's going to be very cool to see next week who's gone, who isn't. I almost guarantee you, though, right now, one name that isn't going to go anywhere is the one name we want to see go somewhere, and that's Ohtani.
Yeah.
It's such a weird situation to be in. Yeah. Right now, on July 24th, 2023, every talking head is saying, well, you can't be the GM that traded Ohtani. You can't be the guy that traded Ohtani. When we know darn sure that a year from now, on July 24th in 2023, when they don't trade him, and the Angels, and, you know, he left a free agency and they didn't get nothing for him.
It was like the Aaron Rodgers thing, right? Had we got rid of him last year, what could we have gotten for him compared to what we got this year? Did you wait that 1 year too long, or did you do it 1 year too early? I always think of that with Reggie White. I still think we got rid of him too early, you know, because he had a couple of productive years with Carolina, and everybody thought he was kind of washed up, except the offensive coordinators for the other team who would put three guys in to block him.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So that shows you what other people know. Interesting, though, here's a good one for you and our fans out there, our callers, give us a call. What do you think the Brewers are going to do? Are they going to be traders, buyers, or stand patters?
I like that. The stand patters part, that's perfect. We need to add that. We need to add that third one in there. I'm so interested to see the Cubs because of my dad. I'll be honest. I pay attention because of him and everything. But I'm more curious about the Brewers than I am the White Sox. I already know the Sox are taking every call they can get right now.
Sure.
That team is not going to look the same 2 weeks from now.
They sure underperformed, didn't they?
It's a shame. It's a shame. But if I get talking about it, that's all I'll talk about. So I'm going to keep moving. I'm in enough pain as it is. I don't need to even think about that.
But, you know, you look at it from the Brewers' standpoint.
Yes.
The starting pitching has been good, and Woodruff supposedly supposed to be back in a couple of weeks maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So you add another start in that rotation, which has been pretty darn good. And then the bullpen, except for that 3-run homer yesterday, has been darn good. You know, they hadn't, I looked it up and I saw something about Elvis Peguero. It was only the second home run that he's given up all year, the first since April 27th in 35 appearances. These guys have just been throwing shutout after shutout. Sometimes, you know, it gets a little tense at the end of the game, but they still pull it out and they were still winning. Now, if you can So because of the pitching, I know the hitting has been such a struggle this year, but with the pitching, should we just keep it the way it is? If we can just get another bat in there, is that going to put us over the hump? Or do we say, oh, maybe we can get a few more prize. That's, there you go. It's so easy to sit back and for us to say,
yeah,
but to be the GM and make those calls.
I got to know, am I going to be, do I have any chance at re-signing one of those two big pitchers?
Corbin Burns.
Do I have a chance, or I got to have a really great relationship with his agent, and I really got to trust what they're giving me. Because if I can't get any, I am not a guy that has a concern about being the GM that traded Ohtani or anything like that. Because does anybody remember what they got back for Babe Ruth? Anybody? No. Nobody. And if you do, you're lying. You Googled it. Nobody remembers. I would rather be the person that gets something for my franchise than nothing. I haven't done a whole lot of math in my life, but I'm not very good at it, but something is better than nothing, I believe.
And I think, you want to go way back. You think about the Milwaukee Bucks. Lou Alcindor, Kareem, yep, Abdul-Jabbar, right?
Yep.
He just didn't want to be in Milwaukee anymore, and he wanted to be in the big city of L.A., and so they got Marcus Johnson and a couple of other household names that I think they got four players in that deal, if I remember right. One of the guards, Brian, can't remember his last name.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though. Every sport is different, so you can't treat every sport the same way when it comes to some of these conversations and talk. And you look at a team like the Milwaukee Brewers that have not won a World Series, that their fan base is so strong, so dedicated. They show up in that ballpark. If the team hasn't won a game in 50 games, they're still filling that ballpark. That deserves to be rewarded. That deserves to... I know you can't do it every season, but every once in a while, I'm not saying that you look at this Brewers staff and say they're one player away from winning the World Series. I don't think anybody thinks that. But you are one player away from keeping that keeping that excitement going.
Because they were like averaging over 35,000 fans this week, and that place only holds, 43,000, something around like that. And you're right, the fan base is excited about it. I think what they've got to do, and maybe they're doing this, is behind the scenes they got to be talking to Corbin Burns, right?
Absolutely.
Saying, that arbitration thing was not handled well last year. Are you going to come? Would you be interested in coming back? Are they negotiating right now?
Yeah.
Because if not, then they should be looking to deal him right now.
The idea of, I'm afraid to trade a Burns, an Ohtani, because then I won't have a chance to re-sign them. To me, Ohtani just told you, he wants free, his agent told everybody, my client deserves free agency. Okay, he's going to be a free agent. So now I'm trading him. I'm gone. Because he's already looking at other girls. He's already moved on. And that's not even like human psychology right there or anything. That's just plain math right there. That's black and white. He's told you this, basically. If you don't get that, I don't know if you deserve to be a GM. You got to trade him. You got to get something for him. With the Brewers situation and Corbin Burns, if I don't know, I'm hanging on. I'm betting on myself. I'm betting on that I can show him that our team's going to win next year and all that. And to add on to that, part B of that is I'm a buyer at the trade deadline. That doesn't mean I go after Ohtani. Maybe it doesn't mean I grab the biggest name in out there, but do something. Do something where I don't give up a lot, but I get something. Maybe somebody's trying to get a big contract off their books, and I take it on for one season or something like that. Show my fan base, show Corbin Burns, show everybody we're trying. We're working to be the better and trying to be better. Keep these young kids up there playing. Keep giving at bats to Sal. Keep giving him out time in the outfield and everything, and making the highlight plays and stuff. This is the kind of stuff that players will stick around for.
And it really does come down to that thought, right? Are they looking to be a winner? Do they want to be on a World Series championship? Or is it more important for them to get that financial security for the rest of their life, and therefore they're going to go out and get the biggest? I think CC Sabathia, we've talked about him a week or two ago as well, not only after he had that nice little run with the Brewers, but then he was a free agent. It was like a rent-a-player
sort of
thing, like they say nowadays. But he got the best of both worlds, right? I get to go to the Yankees, be a chance to be on a championship team, a World Series winner, and get the big bucks. And he got more than the Brewers could pay.
This is why I'm saying this about the Brewers should be, without question, a buyer. A lot would have to change in a week from now for me to change my answer about that, because of... They are still talking about CC Sabathia in this. The last game I went to, Brewer game I went to, was about a year or two ago, maybe 2 years ago. And we're in the ballpark tailgating and everything beforehand, and we're hanging out. And I heard, walking past, on my way to the park, I heard two different conversations from two very different groups of people, and I heard CC. from both of those. All I heard in those conversations was CeCe. We're still talking about that because in this market, that team is so well loved. If the Packers weren't in this state, you could make the argument that's the most loved team in this state. And in part because they have that little bit of a Cub mentality, a little bit of a wanting to win, having never won kind of thing. So when you have a team like that, that right up, again, to your point, Randy, about going right up to the last game of the season, the last inning of the season, that we may have a chance to get into the playoffs. That's worth it to me. That's worth keeping that. How filled would that park be if that's the scenario and you were a buyer at the trade deadline and you didn't trade a hater? You didn't do something like that. Because we saw last year, even with them still putting up a good fight and everything, ticket sales went down after the hater trade. That's money in your pocket, man. That's fans enjoying the rest of the season. Even if they don't win a World Series, they still get at least 20, 30 more games of excitement.
I can still remember the excitement when the Brewers got in the playoffs and they had CeCe Sabathia. We're over in Nacusa and we're doing a football game. It's a high school football game, right? But the Brewers are in the playoffs and, you know, the PA announcer is announcing what's going on in the game, and it's coming right down to the final inning. And the place just goes crazy. And the excitement that was built up at a high school football game, because you're right, people are following that, and you got the whole state excited.
So we got about 5 minutes left. Feel free to call up 424-2600. I did want to mention these two little notes here from Mark Murphy talking with some reporters, mentioning that Aaron Rodgers is always going to be Green Bay Packer royalty, and that it'll be a couple of years after he retires that he will put his number in the Ring of Honor and everything. I kind of actually, why is he talking about this now and all that? Well, when he was asked, for one, but also I like, get this out of the way. I think it's a really smart move by him. Get this out of the way. Yeah, no controversy here. No question, will he, won't he? Of course he will be. Next question. I like that part of it, but I'm very curious about the, he also said, they're going to have to take a half a season to tell about Jordan Love.
Oh, and I think more than that.
I agree.
Think more than that.
I want to know what the Patience fans have.
Yeah.
And so let's bring this to next week. You can call up and talk about it right now, too, but I want to talk about this next Monday on Playmakers. Be sure to join us from 3 to 4. How long of a leash are you giving Jordan Love? How long is the honeymoon going to last for you out there as a fan of the Green Bay Packers?
So was it 2008 when Aaron Rodgers took over and they went like 4-10 or 4-12 that year? Mm-hmm. You know, that what you're talking... What, 15 years ago already?
Yeah.
How the patience has changed in 15 years just driving down the road with people.
Yeah. Right? Because this is interesting to me with this situation compared to that one. With that one, I do think there was a little bit of the hangover of the Brett Favre. Is he going to retire? Is he not? There was a little of that. There wasn't nearly the drama that Aaron has brought. And you got a lot more things nowadays with social media and all that. But... there's a bit of a honeymoon right now with Jordan Love where we're just happy we don't have somebody who's a soap opera queen, you know, who's somebody who like that. That we have somebody that we can just kind of like get excited about, and he's a young player. He's he's unwritten. There's nothing about Jordan Love right now.
And you think about the surrounding cast on offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a couple of rookie tight ends.
Right,
it's a bunch
right.
of second-year players for wide receiver. The offensive line is pretty solid as long as they stay healthy. Running back situation is good. So there might be a little bit of forgiveness there. There won't be any for the defense. I think we've talked about that too.
Yeah.
Right?
It's two very different stories going on.
Yeah.
When the offense is out there, I think there's a lot of, hey, you know, good job out there. No, you tried. That's what counts. Defense, not enough. Not good enough.
Yeah.
Not good enough. Not good enough.
Why can't we stop the run? Why do we let him throw the ball over the middle all the time?
It's going to be two very different fan. Like as your fan head is going to be flipping right there. You're going to be two-faced. You're going to be going two ways with this.
I think we lose 24-21. And 21 points, you're thinking probably wins in the NFL, and they give up 24, and you're going to let the defense let us down.
Yep. Yeah.
And especially if this starts happening towards the ends of games. You know?
Yeah.
And then again, you look at it, well, did the offense perform or was the defense on the field the entire game and then they wear out and then, there's so many scenarios that can play out in those games as well. That'll be fun to watch.
Another thing I wanted to talk about next week with the audience and you, Randy, are you going to be with us next week? Yeah. That I wanted to talk about is the running back position in the NFL and how people feel about this, if they should be getting paid better, if not, if there should be a different scale system for running backs. In that, I think it's an interesting conversation and an interesting thing considering I don't, as big as quarterbacks are and all that, biggest thing in the franchise, biggest thing in sports, I don't think that it was quarterbacks that made the NFL. I think it was running backs.
Oh, back in the day, definitely. You know, the passing game has changed so much with the different rules, yes.
I'm curious to, and if you know anything about time and evolution and all this, things always come back around. I don't think that we're going to see a team necessarily win consistently without a consistent good running game. That can mean having three good backs or one good back, you know. But I'm curious to know how you guys out there think about it. And we'll get into that next week. One more time. Didn't want to cheer on the Ramblers. Wishing them a good couple of days here. And here's hoping that they are playing tomorrow.
And the other big thing going on in the world of sports right now, the FIFA World Cup for women.
Yes.
The women for the United States were able to defeat Vietnam 3-0. And I think they play again Wednesday against the Netherlands, right?
Yeah, Wednesday at 7 o'clock against the Netherlands is the next one. I wanted to get into that with you, Randy, because I was so excited. I watched that Vietnam game a bit. And man, that was... I'm sorry. I'm such a homer. We have a dominant team out there, even though the English team is pretty consistent too. I'm putting all my chips in on this USA team. Anything, I'm so excited.
You know, anytime
this.
You got world competition, you can just have that American pride, right?
Yes.
You sit there going, USA.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We appreciate the time. We'll be back here next.